Hello, and welcome back to Holochat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby.
Perfect.
Nice. Nailed it. Sure. Welcome back to Holochat. Here we are again. We're going to chat about some things today. And I'm going to give you a little insider secret. We haven't even talked about what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be exciting for all of us.
Well, we come to you today on like 4 hours of sleep because we're recording after. Well, I don't actually know how much sleep Bobby got, but I got very little sleep because the live stream was this morning, the AT's finale in Seoul live stream. So I went to sleep at like 11:30 and then had to wake up at like 2:50 and then was awake until, you know, 6. We originally planned to, or at least I had suggested that right after the concert, we would just hop on a mic and start sharing those thoughts. And I texted Bobby and I was like, I don't have any thoughts. I gotta go to sleep.
I genuinely thought you weren't serious about that because I was like, that's crazy. That's insanity. It's gonna be 6 o'clock in the morning for you. What? That's nuts.
Well, I was serious until it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, no, I've gotta go back to sleep. So I made no plans
to record. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Should we talk about the concert then?
Let's talk about it. We should preface this by me telling my terrible tragic story. It's not even a story. It's just that so I needed to wake up at 3:45. So someone on the East Coast did. The stream was at 4 for me. I set my alarm. I was all good to go. I was all set up. I like double, triple checked the alarm, make sure, you know, we were good. Mm-hmm. I sprang awake at 5 a.m. This morning. It was like 4:58, I think, when I just suddenly went from being asleep to fully awake and alert and knowing that something was terribly wrong. And the thing that was terribly wrong was that I had been asleep. So I go and I pick up my phone and it's like the alarm is still uselessly ringing in silence. I'm like, what is the point of this? I was very mad. And then it took me a bit to figure out how to get on the stream because every single Korean website is an escape room. All of them. Uh-huh. You have to like figure out the clues. You've got to decipher some puzzles before you can figure out what it is that you're supposed to be doing. So it took me a few minutes to get logged in. And so by the time I made it in, I was frustrated and grouchy and sulking. Mm-hmm. So I was sulking all through everything and all through Silverlight, which are my, it's like one of my favorite parts of the concert. I was grouchy for it. So that's the attitude I'm bringing to the table this morning.
I was out with my friends last night and we had a D&D game, so I didn't get back until late. And I knew, actually, they were like trying to continue to play this D&D game. It was 10:30 and I like turned to my husband. And I was like, I've got to wake up at 3. Like, we're going to have to go home. So we, you know, wrapped things up and we got home and I was like, I want to sleep until the very last second possible. So I set my whole shebang up last night, got my computer downstairs. I navigated the From website. I did my escape room. It was ridiculous. Like I've streamed AT's concerts, I feel like, on so many different websites, and I just it's different every time. It's different every single time. And this one, so I like bought the ticket, right? But then you had to also buy the coupon, but the coupon was free, so you had to register with like a second site. And so I was doing this at like 11 o'clock last night, and I was like, thank God I did this tonight, because I would not have been able to navigate it at 3 a.m. It just would not have happened. I would have been you, except I probably would have woke up at the correct time, but then I would have gotten frustrated and just gone back to bed. Because we talked about it beforehand. I was like, I don't know if I can wake up at 3 a.m. I might not watch the concert. So I had considered skipping it, and you had not considered skipping
that
it. You
was
were like
crazy talk.
You're like, no, I've got to see it.
It was just like a couple, it was right before they had announced that they were going to do the live stream. I had been thinking, boy, I wish waking up early for an AT's concert. Like, I know that waking up early kind of sucks, but that's just part of the magic of the live stream, is that it is the middle of the night and it's an ungodly hour to be awake and listening to like cyberpunk. Yeah. But I was just craving a good AT's performance. And I was thinking, like, you remember when they did, it was something they did in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're
talking about. I think it was the other thing that they did when they were like, it was like a group performance. performance type of thing, but they were like the final event.
Yeah.
And then they did like the Fever medley.
Yeah.
And then that was, I think, the thing where Woo Young did the biting gesture because of Vada and all of that. I think I might be getting it mixed up with the Saudi Arabia KCON that they did. But that performance was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. And it was so worth it to wake up. And I didn't have to wake up that early because it's like the time, because of the time zones.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm just craving an 80s performance and not like a dumb Korean music show performance where the camera work is bad and the sound systems are bad and like I have to suffer through other groups. I just want a good 80s performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they announced the live stream, I was like, yes, this is what I want.
It was
for me. I yearn for this. It was for me, and I showed up an hour late, and I'm so mad about it.
That was very rude of you after they did this for you. Yeah, I had planned on... Well, I didn't plan on it. I was just like, I don't know if I can wake up. I've been so tired recently. I just haven't been sleeping well. So I was like, if I can sleep through it, what if this is the night I could get like a good night's sleep? Obviously, I didn't. So I woke up at 2:56, stumbled downstairs, connected my computer. I have a very large TV, like a very
she does.
It's
very
big. It's a very large TV. And that's really important to me that I have a very large TV. I like to have a big TV. It's just, it makes my soul happy.
She wants the immersion. She wants to feel like she's there.
So, you know, I had the From website is how you had to stream it. So I had my computer, my laptop hooked up so that it was going on to my very large TV. And the quality of that stream was bad.
It was so bad. It was so terrible.
It was like watching on a potato. a very large, like my TV is my whole wall. Just like looking at a potato. It was
like you're watching it through like a veil, so like or a curtain. So everything is just, all the edges are very smooth and just sort of blend together like a like an impressionist painting.
It reminded me of someone had watched a live stream that was already like only okay quality, but then they did like a screen record of it. And then they like streamed it. And so they uploaded it at kind of like a low, like that. It was like several layers from what I would expect a direct live stream to be. Like I watched better Twitch streams with like better quality. I was like, this is wow. So that was pretty disappointing. And then I
just feel like we should have figured this out by now.
This
shouldn't be a thing that we're still struggling, like a basic live stream.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is a thing that is so difficult. I need all the AI bros to drop the AI and I need them to redirect all of their energy to streaming and just figuring out how do we make this so that it always works every time and it doesn't look like I'm watching something underwater. Like that's what we need.
Yeah, I agree. There's that's what I want from life. It was
my one request is that we figure out live streaming.
It was bad quality. The concert itself was not bad. The video quality was very bad. It truly doesn't matter how upsetting the systems to get to it are, how bad the video quality is. Like all of those little things, when it comes down to it, you could still feel how good the performance was.
Mm.
It felt very nostalgic to me watching this because I went to, how many of these concerts did I go to? A lot.
You went to six.
I went to six of these concerts, so it felt like I was like re-experiencing something that I didn't realize I was missing. And then I was watching it and I was like, oh, wow, that's like so soothing. Like took me back to all of those really fun memories. And I went to all six of those concerts with like my friends. So, you know, I had like that feeling of nostalgic friendship. And we were, of course, in a group chat. None of us were talking very much because it was 5 a.m. But, you know.
And I was angry.
We were
full of anger.
There was a group chat. So, you know, I could get to experience with my friends again. Yeah. My favorite part of the concert, you missed. So
I'm going to need you to stop rubbing that in, please. that would make me feel good in my heart.
It's really upsetting because I can't talk about it. I want to talk about how.
Well, you're going to have to. You're just going to have to tell me what you're just going to. I'm just going to have to suffer through it.
Okay.
This is my morning of suffering. So.
So I think I've said this in our like concert our two episode concert recap that we did. So if you missed that, you can go back and hear me say all of this again. But my favorite part of the whole concert is This World to Wake Up. I love Sans Dance Break before it. And then This World is one of my favorite songs. And then everyone thinks Wake Up is good because of the sexy dancing. That's not why it's good. I think hearing Jungho do his notes in Wake Up is the closest I can ever have to a religious experience. Like, it feels like my heart starts soaring, you know? Like, I feel like this lightness in my chest. I feel like the gates of heaven are opening. I've long said that Jungho singing live is like looking into the face of God. And I just, it really was confirmed this morning at 5 a.m. when I was hearing him sing, watching him through my microwave. So just me in my living room having my personal religious experience. That is my favorite part of that concert. His notes in Wake Up are crazy.
It is crazy. And I feel like a lot of people don't really pay attention to that because there's so much other stuff going on.
I mean, the sexy dancing is good and fine, but like his notes are incredible in that song. Like, it is, I entered a new plane of existence this morning. That is how I feel. So just no longer a part of this world. I've entered a better world. It's really a shame you missed it.
I will be mad about this for the rest of my life. I will look back on this and be upset about it because I can carry a grudge. And I don't know who my grudge is against.
I'm blaming From. I know it's not From's fault, but I'm blaming From.
We can blame them for other things. I don't feel like this particular thing is on them. I did manage to make it for my favorite parts. I did get to see Silverlight. I was grumpy during it, but I did get to experience it. So that is something. So I got in like just as Jungho was beginning everything.
I know. She was like texting us in the chat and we were like, oh God, Jungho's about to start. And I didn't want to like tell you that because I didn't want you to have to rush. And I was like really worried.
I mean, I was already rushing, but like, I guess it was just, that was just the time I was meant to be there. I wasn't meant to see This World. Maybe I couldn't have handled it. Maybe it would have broken me. Some way. I don't know. But I did manage to get there for Silverlight and everything. And Silverlight is one of my favorite moments of the concert. And also Mats. I do love Mats. I love all of that. The goofy little intro that leads into Mats as well. So I did get to see that. I did get to see the new title medley that they have that they just rolled out real quick for this concert.
Which was great.
It was great. I enjoyed it a lot.
I think Finks is really fun live. And I'm not sure that I've ever seen it. They did the Fever medley at one of them. And it Thinks was in that too. So
I think so. I think it, or it leads into Thinks or something like that. But I know that they did it for the Break the Wall tour. I'm fairly certain it was in Break the Wall. I could be wrong though. Wrong about so many things.
It's been a while since I've seen it, I guess. I've been to many different concerts since then.
Right. It was either Beginning of the End or it was Break the Wall that had Thinks in it. But yeah, so I did get to see that. I got to see Enough, which was the end.
So good.
They did cut Utopia to put in Enough, which is fine. I think I'm fine with that. I do still, Sean, I am still looking for the Utopia concert version along with From. So anytime you want to drop those, I'm ready and waiting.
Here is the exciting news for me. Celebrate was in this set list. Celebrate is for me, y'all. Like, it's, I love it more than any other 18E. I have a shirt that says Celebrate.
That is true. She does love it more than anybody else.
Celebrate is for me. I feel like a lot of people are kind of like down on that song, kind of judgy about it. It's for me. It is for me. I love Celebrate. And when Cassandra told me that they were doing Celebrate now instead of, I don't even remember what they replaced, but she told me they were doing Celebrate and I was like, how dare they do it in Seoul when I'm not there to see it? Don't they know know that that's my song. One of my greatest regrets is not asking Jungho to sing Celebrate to me on my birthday. I wasn't in a place where I could handle him singing Celebrate to me, I don't think.
See, exactly. So. I couldn't have watched the first act of this concert this morning. I couldn't have done it. It would have destroyed me in some way. So I did get to see that. I saw my teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Which they had added that, and that, that was great. I assumed that I missed Halazia. Yeah.
You did miss Halazia.
I did. Yeah, it's really great.
It was really good. And I had a similar thought during Halazia that, like, yeah, it is like I'm at church. Listen, as a non-religious person, I don't get that feeling of grace and euphoria very often, but I do at an ATEEZ concert. And I do when Jungho hits a high note. So anyone who is a Jungho high note hater, you are hating on my personal religion. So, like, I need you to get it together.
What else is there to say about an ATEEZ concert? It was an ATEEZ concert. Y'all
the outfits were different. They were good.
No, they weren't.
Some of them weren't they?
What outfits were different?
I don't remember the fur outfit.
They've had that. That's been part of the Europe tour.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I didn't watch any of the Europe tour stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Those are most the outfits are from the Europe tour.
I feel like I sound like a bad 18-y. I don't like watching concert clips. It's not that I, don't care what ATEEZ is up to. I do not like watching concert clips. So I don't watch them. So I was really surprised by the fur. That was new to me.
It's different from the US tour, but that is from the Europe tour.
I see.
Based on the clips that I have seen, because I don't hate watching concert clips, but based on the clips that I've seen, I don't think any of the clothes are new. I don't think.
I mean, that's probably
fairly certain that these are all the same from the Europe tour, which makes sense. I don't know why you would have brand new clothes just for two concerts in one weekend when that's the end of a tour.
I haven't checked out Twitter because I'm not on Twitter, as we established last week.
Okay. Do you want to hear some news from Twitter?
Well,
some
hold
happy,
on.
Not happy. It's bad and stupid. But anyway, carry on.
What I was going to say was that I haven't looked at Twitter after this concert, but it was pretty clear to me during the vibe of the concert. This was the finale. There's not going to be a Southeast Asia. There's not going to be a Latin America. And I assume that there are people who are upset about that because I know that that was a theory that they were going to announce additional tour dates as a surprise after the encore. And I just don't think that's going to happen. Maybe I'll be proved wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, this isn't an encore the way that the Break the Wall anchor was. This is a finale. Like, they haven't been saying that it's an encore. They're saying this is the finale.
Yeah.
And my theory, because we have recently learned that they've signed like an exclusive contract or some sort of contract with AEG.
Yes.
My theory is that they had to, whether they had planned to extend the tour and do South America and possibly Africa and Southeast Asia, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in the room.
Yeah.
But my theory is that if they had planned that, those plans were scrapped so that they could start the new tour with the new touring company. Probably something to do with contracts and whatever. That is my guess. I am expecting that they're going to announce a new tour far sooner than any of us are ready for. I am wondering, I don't know for sure, obviously, I am wondering if instead of starting it in the US like they normally do, if they start it in South America or Southeast Asia and then do Europe and the US after that.
That would make a lot of sense.
I don't know. What I hope for this this collab, what I hope, it's not a collab, I don't know what it is. My hope is that this makes it easier for them to schedule the tours in one big block instead of in small blocks where each leg of the tour is getting a slightly different concert experience. I do think that they will. I think that they will come back, and I think that this, whatever their next tour is, I think it's going to go to more stops than they have previously done. That's what my theory is, and that is what I'm hoping for because I'm tired of everybody being mad all the time.
People were talking about this. It's not a collaboration, and when you said that, I was like trying to find the right word, but we're going to call it
a team up. It's like an exclusive contract,
yes.
I think is what it is called.
So this exclusive contract, I was thinking about it from the terms of Psychers has had a lot of trouble with their touring. I'm fairly certain that I remember reading that this is a contract with KQ, not ATEEZ. So that means that this might also help Psychers a bit, and it might make the whole touring thing easier for the company, just like the whole logistics of it, just easier. Like,
that is what I'm hoping. Doesn't HYBE, they don't own Live Nation, but they have their contracts are with Live Nation, aren't they?
I think so.
Like, I feel like I remember, like, a thing where whatever Scooter Braun's company is had, like, a thing with Live Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be so nice if I knew what I was talking about?
Well, we never do. But anyways, I do think, I agree with you. I think we're going to get a tour announcement sooner than people expect. I think it will be a new tour. I think my prediction is that it will be announced during the comeback or right before the comeback. So whenever they're doing that. We talked last week in our episode about a Psychers comeback, and I think the Psychers comeback was announced like 3 days before that episode went up. So, you know, we look like we don't know what we're talking about. That's fine. But they are currently going to be going on tour soon. Like, they go on tour in May, and they were promoting their concert when they announced their comeback. And I think ATEEZ will probably do something similar. And I am still expecting that ATEEZ will announce their comeback for when Psychers is on tour. I think it will be in May. And then I think they'll probably tour soon after Psychers gets back. Because that's the thing. If you've got two you're a small company and you've got two groups touring, they can't tour at the same time. They're going to need a lot of the same people.
Right.
So you've got to stagger those tours to let both groups have the people that they need. And that's just the reality of a small company. It's a small company. It just is. It is, you know? It is, end of sentence. So I think this will help with that, hopefully.
I do need things to go well for the babies. That's pretty important to me. I don't think things have been going well for them.
Well, their new comeback looks great, so everyone should check it out. Spur looks great.
It does look great. Have you listened to the audio, the little audio clip that we have?
No.
We only have one so far. It's on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's supposed to be a teaser. I mean, I don't know why. It's just they, after the first set of concept photos dropped on Instagram, they put up clips of the boys in their little outfits, like little duos, and they play the same music behind all of them, and it sounds really good.
Oh, okay.
It's not the country western though that some of us were hoping for in our hearts.
I know, it's supposed to be a country really for me.
This one's not for you.
Interesting Psychers baby news. Or at least it was interesting to me. It won't be interesting to anyone else, so maybe we should cut this. But two of the baby songs are not produced by Eden, and I think this is the first time we've seen a KQ group have non-Eden produced songs on their Korean albums.
Outside of Mingi.
Yes, because outside of Mingi's songs.
I think that that's a good thing. I
do too. I was surprised when I saw it, but I think it's good.
Especially if they are also going to be producing for Sohyung now that she is part of the company. So he's got three different artists.
Oh my God.
Juggling.
If Eden made a Sohyung song, oh my God, I would. Oh God. Eden, hear my prayers.
That's what I'm hoping for. And I'm so excited to hear new music from her. Now that she's in KQ, I can't even fathom. I can't fathom. We might see like some Jungo features on the Sohyung albums.
Good.
We might see her do some stuff. She might feature, like, there are so many possibilities.
She could be on an ATEEZ album.
She could be on an ATEEZ album. People get mad and people are stupid about dumb stuff. And there's so much potential here for some crossover action. And I don't know anybody who would genuinely be upset about a crossover other than like solos, but I can't take them seriously anymore.
Solos are upset about anything, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, speaking of solos.
Okay, I'm ready.
Since I brought them up, the Mingi solos are mad right now.
Why?
Can you guess? Can you guess why the Mingi solos are mad right now?
Okay, let me think. Let me think.
And I'm going to tell you, it's based on something that happened extremely recently.
God.
Something that we witnessed with our own eyes not too long ago.
No, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to need you to think all the way back to a couple hours ago to the end of the ATEEZ concert when they had their special little mint that they did for us, the special event.
They're mad about something
ATEEZ
that happened today?
Yes. Yes, they are. So I just read this like a few hours ago. So you know how Mingi was the last person to, or he was one of the last people to do his little video for ATEEZ.
Yeah.
And you know how he said something like, oh, I really miss ATEEZ.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you remember how the other members reacted to that and they kind of started teasing him about that?
Yeah.
Like you could hear them as we're watching the video. You could hear them react to it.
It was very cute.
Not to the Mingi solos. Mingi solos are mad about it. Mingi solos are mad at ATEEZ for teasing Mingi about how much he cares about Aitonese.
I know that so many Aitonese feel like ATs, the members of ATs, are these sort of mythical beings who defy all norms and stereotypes. But like, if you've ever hung out in a group of 20-year-old men, like, I'm sorry,
weird to call them that, but that is what they are.
Like, I'm sorry, that's what they are. They're 20-year-old men, like, regardless even of their sexual orientation, like, they're 20-year-old men and teasing each other, whether it's good or not. That's very normal in that context. Like, I've never hung out with a group of 20-year-old men where they didn't kind of tease each other and make fun of each other, especially about like girlfriends, like, oh, you're so whipped, blah blah blah. I don't think it's cute. I'm not saying it's good. But like, that's pretty normal.
Perhaps it is because these solo stans don't really have friends, so they don't know what it's like. But I would just like to inform everyone, it's not even just the 20-year-old men. It's just friends in general will tease each other about things. Rachel was just making fun of me for waking up late.
I was.
She was.
I make fun of my friends all the time. Like, and not like trying to be mean, but like in like a gremlin sort of way, you know? Like a tiny troll.
That's just normal. It's just normal to tease each other. I don't know what else to say to these people. Like,
it is a sign of like there's a boundary that can be crossed. We all agree that there's a boundary that can be crossed, and I try not to. I'm sure I do sometimes, and when I do, I try to apologize. Like, I know that I've sometimes teased Cassandra, and she's been like, "Why are you doing that to me?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry. I thought we were having a moment. I thought we were doing a thing, but we're not. Okay, like, I got it." So like, there is like a boundary that can be crossed, but the fact that you're comfortable with someone to tease them shows a level of intimacy in a relationship. Like, I don't tease people who aren't my friends, who I don't know. Right. That would be incredibly rude. But ATs is able to tease each other because they are close, because they are like family. I also make fun of my brother all the time. Like, you know, there is a safeness there because they are so close. And we have seen when people took it too far with Mingi, where Woo Young was like, "Y'all need to stop." And that was when I think it was Mingi dropped his mic during a music show performance of Horizon. It was Horizon. Because in the same performance, BB Trippin dropped Yunho. It was a rough performance. I don't even know. This, like, that might be
crazy
from
lore
online
that I was fully unaware of. Wow.
So I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. And they were talking about it. People were laughing and making fun of it. And Woo Young was like, "Does it bother you when people bring it up?" And Mingi was like, "Yes." And Woo Young was like, "No one's going to bring it up anymore." So like, when that boundary is passed, they're capable of understanding when the boundary has been passed and knowing what the boundary is. I don't think Mingi was hurt at all.
Oh no, he was laughing. Like, he had his big bright Mingi smile, which I'm not saying that he couldn't have been acting, but like, this wasn't even like serious teasing. It was just like, "Oh wow, you need to," they were saying, "you know, get rid of YouTube. You need to stop getting your dating tips from YouTube. That's so cringy." Like, just the smallest of deals. I can't even. I pulled this mic out so that I could like lean back. And I don't know if that is what I want to do, but we're going to try it for a little
That's
while.
What I did earlier. And then my arm, like, I was like, I think my arm's going to get tired with this. Everyone, we got new mics.
How do the YouTubers do it?
I feel like they sit forward, like they have like a script.
Yeah, but they're holding it.
I don't know that I was meant to be a YouTuber.
I for sure wasn't. I had dreams once, but not anymore. Those dreams are dead. Unless it'll make me a lot of money, and then I could be one of those people that goes, I've been deeply into, YouTube's been recommending me videos of people who buy these old buildings. that are not houses, and then they turn them into houses.
I've seen someone do that with churches.
I don't know that I would live in an old church, because that would absolutely be haunted. And while I like visiting haunted places, I don't want to live in a haunted place, because like I do need to sleep. The one I watched this morning, this girl bought this old general store that had opened up in like 1900, and so it had like all this junk in there from the early 1900s. It was really fascinating. But I'm just like, what do you do that has given you the money to be able to purchase this enormous piece of land with this old building? And then she was talking about, yeah, and my dad's company is fixing it up. And I was like, there it is. That's what it is. It's daddy. That's what it is. So,
yeah. I was telling Jeffrey, this is not related to ATs at all. I was telling Jeffrey that my parents have a house in Oklahoma, and Jeffrey has been complaining about his job recently. And I told him that if he can develop his own 6-month plan for what he can do to live on the land in Oklahoma and make a living doing that, he's more than happy to, we can move out there on that house.
Jeffrey wants to be a rancher.
Yeah.
He wants a homestead.
He said the craziest thing to me. Again, not related to 80s at all. I am obsessed with the idea of starting like a K-pop bookstore, cafe, cocktail bar. Like, I want to open a bookstore and have it also sell music, some K-pop, but just like other music too. Have seating areas, coffee shop. At night, have a cocktail bar. Like, I think it would be so good. Like, board games, just the whole thing.
Just like a hobby, a place for hobbies.
Yeah. And it would be like decorated really like cozy and warm. And you could sit and you could hang out. You could have book club meetings. You'd have friends come, meet up. Just like a real like a gathering place. I think gathering places are really important in this time in our lives where they are trying to make us not connect with people. So like a gathering place.
They want us to connect with AI now. And that's just it.
So I'm really obsessed with this idea. I'm really enchanted with it. It kicks around in my head all the time. We were with our friends and we were talking about it, and I was, you know, sharing this dream. Some of them have similar dreams, and I was like, well, what if we really did it? Like, what if we did it? And Jeffrey was, you know, they asked Jeffrey what his dream was, and he said that he wants to fix up houses. I was like, excuse you, you won't even paint with me. Like, I asked you to help paint this house that we live in.
Like, he wants to be a house flipper?
No, he just wants to, like, fix up old houses to, like, make them. I don't think he wants to flip houses. I think he wants to just, like, bring houses back to life. I think he imagines
like
himself.
He wants to house restoration.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wants to house restoration. And I was like, you don't even want to paint the house that we live in. Like, I've asked if you wanted to help me paint. And you were like, no.
That's not as fun as, like, you know, decorating, you know, restoring decorative trims and real wood doors and old light fixtures.
Yeah, but we could put an old light fixture in this house.
Take the new ones out and put the old ones in and then fix it.
Anyways, I don't know how I got there. I was just
tell him he can't do that until he gives you the gothic
manner, like, of my dreams.
The gothic manner with the dark paint and the gilded frames and Django on the wall. Not actual Django, a picture of Django. I just want to clarify.
I have several friends in the, like, merch, I don't want to say department, but, you know, we're all looking for AT's merch pretty regularly. You know,
the game, the merch game.
Yeah, the merch game. So one of my friends in the merch game, she sent me this link to Japanese Mercari. And it was a wooden frame, or not frame, just like a wooden canvas print. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like a big
wooden
print.
It's a canvas print. It's a canvas print is what it is.
It's like big. It's very large. So this was something that hung up during Dreamers promotions, like at, I think it was at Tower Records, but I don't know. So what they do in Japan after they, like, have these decor items on the wall, they'll raffle them off to customers who entered, and someone won this Jungho print and they were selling it on Japanese Mercari. And my friend sent me that, and then I sent it to our other friend, and I was like, I just need you to get this for me. I don't care. It was having a bad day. I was like, I don't care what it costs.
Don't tell me any numbers. Just get it.
This canvas, very large Jungho wall hanging thing. I need it for my house. And so it came. It is beautiful.
It is very nice.
He is gorgeous. He's laying in the grass. It's so vibrant, such high quality. And it came and I was like, okay, I've got to hang this in my entryway. That's all I want. And so I went to my entryway and it's like he's on green grass and he's wearing his like dreamer's jacket that's kind of like a bluish mm-hmm. white almost. And he's got on blue jeans and a white shirt. And so I went to hang it on our entryway wall and our entryway wall is maroon. And it looked so bad. So my current feeling is that I need to redo my whole house so that when I hang this up in my entryway, it looks like it belongs there. So I'm going to get like a big golden frame and I'm going to paint the wall like a dark navy blue, like so dark that it's almost black. Mm-hmm. And I am going to offset this beautiful bright painting on that navy wall. That's my dream. Once I get it done, I'll post it on our Instagram so everyone can see it. Mm-hmm. I'll have Jeff help me so he can realize his dreams. Yeah. I don't want to keep him from his dreams.
Yeah, practice restoring the old houses. So you remember we talked about in our last thing, we talked about how San and J-Hope had a little dance challenge that they had done together. Mm-hmm. Well, as you can imagine, some people found a way to turn that into a bad thing. So apparently San went live afterwards or something or was on From or something. Mm-hmm. And he had gone on one of his things and he had been talking about BTS. And in he's talking about BTS and he said the usual, BTS paved the way for so many mm-hmm. groups, which mm-hmm. anyone who like understands what people mean by that would agree. They did. They opened a lot of doors. Not every door. The road isn't completely smooth for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody is still working their own way. It's not like BTS made it easy for other people.
Right.
They just opened a door that previously hadn't been as open, right? So like San had acknowledged that in his thing. Well, you know how when people translate for the From messages or for the lives or whatever, they have to do it in a series of tweets, right? So an army had found a translation of San's thing that he had been talking about. Mm-hmm. And they had tweeted just the first tweet where he hadn't said the BTS paved the way thing.
Yeah.
And or something like that. And then they had tried to accuse the A&E translators of refusing to translate the part where San says BTS paved the way. And literally everybody was like, you stupid idiot. What are you talking about? And people are linking the tweet where the translator had translated that thing. Mm-hmm. It was just in the next message. And they were like, you need to delete this because, you know, you're just causing problems. And to my knowledge, they never deleted it. So there was that little kerfuffle where somebody was like, hey, I'm going to try to cause a problem where there isn't actually a problem. After Yuno's Valorant Live, which had happened on March 8th, that was the day after the Valorant news account, which I assume it's the actual official Valorant news account because they have the gold check, and I think the gold check is the fancy one,
right?
So they had tweeted about it and they were talking about how he was the, what is it, a Radiant, is that his class or whatever? I don't know.
Valorant's not a thing that I play, so
so they tweet, you know, member of Korean boy band ATEEZ is kind of nasty at Valorant, and then they put a clip of him just like totally wrecking somebody's shop. And it is Radiant because here it is in the reply. So this one dude gets up there.
I did see this, I think.
Yeah, this is Glaze. And then somebody else comes in and says, well, he's Radiant. And then the dude says, well, clip above is mid as fuck, so I still think it's dick writing. And then the Valorant News gets in there and he says, buddy, he makes music and tours for a living and he's still better than you at Valorant. And it's like, nice.
I loved Valorant News's reply. Really making me a fan of Valorant. I had no interest, mm-hmm. but if you're gonna be doing that kind of stuff, I'm there for that.
The dude that had originally made the point said that trying to drag eight, you know, said that he only did it because he was trying to make K-pop stans mad. And it's like, get a life. Genuinely, just go outside, find something else to do. There, mm-hmm. you can pick up hobbies. You can do all sorts of things that do not involve you being on the internet and saying stupid stuff.
I remember one of the things that I wanted to talk about was mm-hmm. the KQ AEG. I forgot to bring it up when we were talking about it, so I'll mm-hmm. just bring it up now.
Okay. After circle the KQ, back.
You said the word glaze, and then I was like, oh mm-hmm. yeah, that is what I wanted to talk about. Because mm-hmm. there was this tweet that was like KQ or ATs are like the number one KQ glazers.
Oh yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. And then there were people who came in, they were like, no, it's ATinis who love KQ and are KQ company stands. Is KQ paying you for being a company stand? And it was just like, okay, during the concert today, I happened to hear ATs thank KQ and the staff at least two times. At least two members said it. And then they all said it at the end. Two of them said it in their personal mints, and then one said it at the end. There is no evidence that ATs was ever not going to re-sign with KQ. Like, they've never said anything that would imply that they yeah. would.
Context being that if they've signed this multi-year yeah. thing with AEG, mm-hmm. that obviously ATs do intend to re-sign because their contracts are up like next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty soon.
One assumes that they are because of the AEG contract. There was one reply that really made me laugh. It was they had a Yosang PFP, so I assume they are a Yosang solo stand. I do admit that I didn't go to their profile, so I am making an assumption based on what they said. But they were like, well, AEG could just be doing it for psychers. Let's just pray for the best for ATs. And I was like, I feel like you're praying that ATs gets out of this contract, and I don't know that's actually praying for the best for ATs.
Like, genuinely, where do people think ATs was going to go when mm-hmm. they left? Like, what are your expectations for where
I know what their
headed?
Expectations are. They expect
what,
them to...
Hype? They think yeah, they're going
to
go to Hype?
They expect them to go to Hype, and then they will be as big as BTS. That is in these people's crazy brains. That's what they think is going to happen. It's as wild.
They're... I
name a HYBE artist that seems as happy with HYBE as KQ, like ATs seem with KQ.
Just yeah, name but one. Also name any artist that's left a small company and then gone to a big company.
Mm-hmm.
It is never the way that it goes. It is always they leave a big company and they choose to go to a smaller company,
mm-hmm.
like a more specialized company. I don't understand. Like, do you think that if Mingi leaves KQ and like goes and forms his own company,
mm-hmm.
do you think he's going to by himself have the same reach that KQ does?
Right.
Like, honestly and genuinely, is that what you think? And I know that people talk a lot about how Mingi's got his own like connections in the industry.
And he does.
And he does. And that's great. That's great. But he's not going to have the money. He's not going to have the
same. He's going to have the connections for the music, but he does not mm-hmm. have the connections that KQ has now built up for distribution, for mm-hmm. concert touring, for the business aspect of merchandising. Like, he doesn't have those connections. He has connections in the music industry, and I'm sure he could get someone to help him,
mm-hmm.
but that is time that he would then have to spend to do all of that instead of producing music. So like if you right. want these boys to produce music, they have to have the time to do it,
mm-hmm.
and being part of a company gives them that time. Allowing Edenary to produce most of their music allows them the time and freedom to work on solo projects like Audubon, which just came mm-hmm. out. I don't think it was out. No, it didn't. It wasn't out because it just came out, right? Like last week.
Listen, time is a lie. I don't know what's going on.
I don't think Audubon was out when we recorded.
I don't think it was either, because I do feel like we would have talked about it and we didn't right. talk about it at all. We only talked about Sagittarius.
Right.
Which Audubon... just little side note. Can I squeeze a little Sagittarius side note in here?
Sure.
Yesterday morning, I queued up like a whole bunch of AT's content that I just haven't watched because I was mm-hmm. like, I'm not doing anything today. I'm not going to. I'm just going to sit here and vegetate. And so I queued up all these things and I finally got to the Sagittarius behind. And I'm going to mm-hmm. tell you, I left that behind just ever so slightly in love with Woyoung. Have you seen it? Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it yet.
You need to prepare your heart before you watch it because he's so beautiful and he's so lovable. And I'm just like, he's a lot for me to deal with right now. Woyoung is my wrecker. He should be my bias, but he just isn't because I can't take on another boy. But I do love him so much. And that was so great. And I loved Sagittarius so much. And everything was just great. But anyway, Wuyang now we can talk about.
Wuyang has long been my wrecker. So, but the,
Wuyang is your bias. What are you talking about?
I mean that he's my wrecker in that I only collect Jung Ho, but sometimes I also collect Wuyang. So, but
Wuyang
truly,
currently the only one who's fully fulfilled Penguin Law. Oh wait, no. They did. Everybody did Penguin Law.
There was an OT8 Penguin. There was an OT plushie. I think I may have sent it to you in this box that I just sent out yesterday.
Oh, I haven't even gotten it yet.
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Every box is a surprise. I don't know what I've gotten from you. This is why I can't do fixed anymore. It's too much of a nightmare.
For me, too. Anyways, Autobahn is so good. I loved Autobahn. I think it. I texted Cassandra and I was like, it's too bad that this is for me and not for you. Because I love it so much. It is perfect. And Mingi, I want Mingi to produce songs. I know people don't think I do because I love Eden.
It is possible to be both. You can like Mingi and Eden at the same time. I know it's crazy.
People are like, whoa, man, I can't wait for Eden to leave and then she'll leave too. And it's like, no, I won't. I will just also get to support Eden, which will be exciting for me. Like, I will get to support him and his solo album while I also still buy all of ATEEZ's stuff. Like, I just, like, people can, multiple feelings can coexist. This is what that you said. I feel like some people have just never been off the internet.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing with the internet is you can't be two things on the internet. You can only be one thing. You're only allowed to have one emotion at a time. There are no gray areas at all. It's all or nothing. It's black or white. It's love or hate. It's never anything in between. And it's such a destructive way to look at the world.
For sure.
Like, I can love Eden's music and think that he actually treats the boys well. At the same time that I would also love to hear more Hongjoong music and more Mingi music.
Yes.
I would love to see the other boys get to stretch their wings a little bit. I feel like, you know, because with Hongjoong, the boys have been participating in writing lyrics and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, let's
do
it.
That's so fun.
Let's do more of this. So I can want more while at the same time not wanting less. I can do both.
And the thing that's so important is that Edenary being in charge of ATEEZ's music allows ATEEZ the freedom and flexibility to explore different projects like Sagittarius, like Autobahn, that might not go with their concept or their sound or be able to be put on an album to be part of a cohesive album, but allows them the freedom to do what they want and like gives them the time and space to do that. If they had to be in the production studios every single day making songs that are cohesive to go on an album, to go together, that would be very limiting as an artist. Because they would have to be making songs for a certain thing. They have time to explore their passion projects. And I can't think of a better, that's the dream. To be able to make a living pursuing art and still be able to pursue your other passion projects. That's the whole dream.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday. So, shall we? I've got two more things.
Okay. Did I even talk about what I wanted to talk about?
I have no idea. Did you?
I don't know.
You talked about ATEEZ being the KQ Glazers and not ATEEZ and how so many people just assumed that ATEEZ were going to leave KQ because they don't exist. The ATEEZ don't exist in reality. They only exist in their own brains.
My other thing. You said that you think the solos don't have any friends earlier. I agree. I would also say they don't have a job. And they've never worked for a company and they just don't understand what that is like.
I forget what YouTube video I was watching, but someone said, it might have been a Markiplier video because I do watch him occasionally. Whoever the person was said, they were saying, oh, that's jobless behavior. And they were like, and I want to make it clear. Joblessness is a state of mind. Unemployment is a state of being.
Yeah.
So you can be employed but have jobless behavior, and you can be unemployed but not be jobless. And I was like, okay, that's such, because I know that a lot of times people, I feel like it was maybe more during the pandemic or the after effects of the pandemic when people are like, we shouldn't say that people are jobless because many people really want jobs and they're trying to get them, but they can't. And so we're really like making fun of them. And it's like, that's not, it's the attitude that I'm making fun of. It is the attitude that you have the time to be able to be critical of things that have nothing to do with you.
I feel like jobless behavior represents this state of mind where you don't have any personal goals or drive. Mm. If I've got time to sit here and think about how poorly KQ treats ATs, that's time that I could be spending on bettering myself. It's a state of mind where you don't care at all about your own personal life. Like, you're
isn't it the same people who, like, I feel like these people who are so obsessed with numbers. You have to fight for Yosong.
Yeah. And his line distribution.
Yeah, it is the same mentality, though, as these people who want to claim that this group is better than this group because this group A has way more numbers than group B does. And we all know that numbers are what define talent and art.
Right.
It's like, I feel like their entire identity is tied up in this one group being better than this other group. And somehow, if this other group, because I'm seeing the same, like, I see it from, you know, groups like mostly armies and stays. That's where I see it the most. Maybe a little bit of Blinks, but I'm not on girl group Twitter, so I don't see them as much. Thank goodness, because that was a bad time for me when I was stuck in girl group Twitter. Just this, it's like everything that they say comes back to a number, and it's like, it's like, I'm sorry, where do you have any identity outside of your group being better than this other group at all? Are you sure?
There's that Jenny Nicholson video that's on her Patreon, so no one here has probably ever listened to it, and you can't, I can't link it, so that's just, it is what it is. But she's talking about the people who bought Evermore, and she's talking about how on their resume, one of the things that the woman had written on her resume was that she was a mentor to a billionaire, as if being around money is a thing that's clout worthy. Like, I am next to money, and that is a thing that gives me power. Like, being a billionaire, you know, babies are billionaires. So, like, it's not actually a clout worthy thing. Being an excellent artist, caring about your work, exploring new methods, like, those are clout worthy. How many streams your song has, like, I just don't care. I just don't.
It's like somebody said, you know, you can have bots that stream, you can't put bots in a concert seat.
And I think I've talked to you about this with my own, like, personal thing. I would rather have 25 people who love what I am doing and who care about the art that I'm making than I would rather have 2,000 people who are just, you know, watching it. Like, the passion for and the understanding of what is being created, I think, is much more impressive than just, like, having a lot of fans.
Well, this attitude will never make us rich, Rachel.
I know. I'm not meant to be rich. I'm not.
How are we going to quit our day jobs if we only have 25 people? For legal reasons, this is a joke.
But, you know, it's not even just related to this podcast in general. Yeah. Like, I would just rather, I would rather have people that understand and care about the art that I'm making than I would just, like, a bunch of people. Like, a bunch of people isn't as good as, like a small amount of really dedicated people.
I mean, well, it's the same concept as, like, having just two or three really, really close friends is so much better than knowing 50 people who are just sort of casual friends.
Right.
Do you remember at the Hanteo Music Awards? Hanto? Hanto.
Yes.
Not, I want to say Hanteo because I'm used to Spanish, but Hanto Awards. This past one, which I think was in, like, January, how ATs won. I don't even understand what it was, but it was something like the K-pop Artist Choice in Africa or something like that.
Sort
remember
of,
this?
Yes.
Okay. I have no more information to give you about that particular thing, but that is relevant to what I'm about to discuss. Okay. After that, recently, ATEEZ has won the K-pop Artist of the Year for the iHeart Music Awards.
Yes.
An American award.
Yes.
Also important context.
Mm-hmm.
After this happens, I think KQ, like, had an article written or something. Mm-hmm. ATEEZ, you know, of course, thanked ATEEZ. It was, like, it was a big deal. It was, like, their first, I don't know what it's a major American award, but, like, it's the closest we've gotten to a major American award.
A well-known company giving them an award. Yeah,
everybody knows what iHeartRadio is, at least. So it's not people have heard Grammy, of it. But, you know, people have heard of it. So, you know, of course, AT's responded, you know, thanked everybody. KQ, they wrote an article about it, whatever. Mm-hmm. After this happens, there has been a pretty popular Moroccan account that has been following AT's. They were very excited about Mawazine and all of that. When this happened, this account, I'm not going to read the entire thing. I'm just going to read this one tweet. They say KQ paying for an article for the iHeart Award and Hong Jun thanking H&E's within hours of winning, but it's been a whole month and not a word has been uttered for the Global Artist Africa Award of HMA. Fuck KQ, fuck AT's, and biggest fuck to American hegemony.
Wow.
They do go on to say that they're going to start using all of their votes for AT's biggest rivals, which I assume are Stray Kids.
That's crazy.
They fully closed their account. They just vanished. Mm-hmm. Everybody called them out on this. I think there was a small group. At the time that I looked at this, it only had like 18 likes.
Yeah.
I'm sure it got more than that afterwards, but there's a small group that felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
But most people did call out this absolutely insane behavior. Like, everybody's like, you know what? I can understand feeling a little bit, you know, how we felt.
That's what I was about to say. We've complained about how they didn't thank us for Billboard, and they, you know, thanked Katini. You know,
they thanked Katini's for the Billboard. They did the live that wasn't live and it wasn't subbed and all of that. Like, we understand that frustration.
Yeah.
We totally get it. That's not what is irritating about this, obviously. Right. What's irritating about this is I'm not getting the thanks that I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to quit, and not only quit, but I'm going to actively root for their rivals, even though up to this point, I've never stated that I even enjoy their music. So for me, this is just all a game.
Jobless behavior.
Like, yeah, it is. That's a prime example of jobless behavior. And it's like, really? So this did spawn this whole thing where AT&E's were like, I only do this because I love AT so much and they don't owe me anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just here to have a good time and I will always vote for them. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
But I would also like to point out that you also do not owe them that. We don't owe them streams. We don't owe them votes. We do it not because we owe them, but because we like them. We want to give them things. The only thing that AT's owes any of us is the albums that we have paid for and the concerts that we have paid for.
And they don't owe us any more songs in the future.
No, like, they owe us absolutely nothing. They genuinely, they don't owe us anything.
Right.
And consequently, we don't owe them anything.
I think I've written a blog post about this before. Probably. Like, what do we owe the artists that we support?
Mm.
And it was in response to the Eden birthday scandal.
Oh, the what have you done for AT? Sorry, I was sipping some tea.
What have you done for ATs lately? Was what people asked me. And it was like, I mean, I could name a lot. I could name a lot of things that I've done for ATs.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't have to do any of those things.
Right.
I can be a fan of ATs and I do not have to purchase from every single album that they drop. People are always saying that Rachel doesn't actually buy thousands of albums for herself. I've got thousands of photo cards of Jungho, which does represent the thousand
albums.
Every
one of them represents an album. So.
I have bought for myself. So I don't buy 1,000 from one store each comeback, but over the course of time, I have bought thousands of albums by myself personally for me. And I could say I've done a lot for ATs, but I don't have to do any of those things to be an ATini. I don't have to do any of those things to love the group. I have to enjoy their music.
You don't even have to.
If I want to call myself anything. An ATini, I have to.
Okay. That's the rubric we're going with.
If I want to call myself an ATini, I need to, in my opinion, love and respect all 8 members and enjoy the music that they put out. And when I stop doing one of those things, I will stop calling myself an ATini. I do not owe them to continue to be an ATini into perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
I can stop. I'm not going to. I don't owe them anything and I don't have to do anything for them and they do not have to do anything for me. It is not that type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Hong Jun has said he thinks that if we're only in each other's lives for a period of time, he's happy that we had that period of time together.
Yeah.
So if this person feels so put out by them not thinking Africa and they want to leave, they are more than welcome to do that. I think it crosses the line if they want to say fuck ATs and start rooting for their enemies. Like, that's, but if you cannot do the things of love and respect all eight members, then yeah, sure, it is time for you to leave.
You aren't an H&E, so you gotta go, friend.
Get out.
Godspeed. I hope you find something else that you love and find joy somewhere else. It's not on the internet. Mm. I did, people were like, I'm going to be keeping track of this because if they try to come back, and I'm like, you know what? Honestly, kind of same if this person tries to come crawling back afterwards. Because mm-hmm. people are like, well, what if they do announce an Africa tour? And I do think that that is a possibility with this mm-hmm. new AEG partnership. I'm hoping hope so. For it. Yeah. I would really love for them to go there. I think they'd have a great time. Mm-hmm. I would love for H&E's in Africa to not have to complain about that anymore. Mm-hmm. But they will complain because they won't go to enough cities. They won't go to the right venues. They won't be there long enough. They won't give them the content they want from the behinds. I'm sure they will find some other reason to be upset. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would just love it if they could just go. I think that'd be great.
I want ATs to see the world. Mm-hmm. I think touring is a, you know, it's not the best way to see the world because you don't get to hang out as much mm-hmm. in each place. But it is a way to see the world.
It is a way, yeah.
I want them to be able to have that. So I, mm-hmm. too, would like them to go to Africa. I would like all of their fans to be able to see them.
Yeah. But unless if this person does try, I'm like, this person better not go to that concert if they go to Africa. You better not. That ticket's not for you, friend. Sorry.
Yeah, give it to someone else. Someone mm-hmm. who can, you know, do the one tenet that you need to do to call yourself an AT.
But I was
love
like,
and respect all eight members of ATs.
This is so giving J.D. Vance. Well, have you thanked us? Remember the meeting?
Uh-huh. I think ATs.
I'm like, why are you trying to be Vance? Even Republicans don't like Vance. What are you talking about?
The crossover between MAGA Republicans and the internet Twitter ATs is pretty shocking. Like the way they act, it's pretty upsetting. So just contemplate that the next time you see like,
would a MAGA Republican tweet like this? Yes or no? If yes, don't. That's our new rule.
It's a small rubric. It's a really low bar that you just have to kind of like
low bar
inch
you just
over.
Have to show slight kindness, a tiny little bit of critical thinking.
A modicum of respect.
Just the tiniest little bit. And then you're not tweeting like they do. It's incredible. So we've also had a new exciting plagiarism scandal.
Oh, yes. I did want to talk about this one, too. Oh, I'm excited.
So I'm there's excited. This Cambodian K-pop girl group.
Yes.
I believe you said they're from Cambodia. Yes. They released
so there's
a
like
song.
A Thai? Group that has a similar name,
but
and then there's
they're different.
Cambodian
these
group.
Are yes. something Eve, right?
Forever.
Oh, these are Forever. The other one are For Eve.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So this is Forever, and they just released it. Oh, there it is. It says it right there. They just released a song called Silly Love Game.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer, I haven't watched the video. Some people have watched the music video because it has since come out since all of this went down.
They said, I heard that some of the stuff that was in the trailer was taken out of the music video.
Yes. So they said that. So the trailer is basically ice on my teeth. They have a lot of it, the same color grading, which I understand ATs doesn't own blue. We get that.
Yeah.
Everyone with any critical thinking skills gets it.
Mm-hmm. It is the layers of things.
It's the layers of things. It is the coloring. It is the font of the title. It is the mask, the people in all black with the mask sitting outside of a gothic-ish looking building, mm-hmm. standing there with umbrellas.
The chest
umbrellas.
Game.
Yeah, the chess game, just a lot of different elements, the chandelier, the walking on the table, mm-hmm. a lot of things that you would say, well, ATs doesn't own any of these things. And no, we're not arguing that they do own these things. But when you take all of these things, it's the mm-hmm. same way that none of us owns the alphabet.
Right.
We don't. But if I take that alphabet and I put it, if I organize it in a way that is just like on Stranger Tides, I am plagiarizing. That's called plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at this and I'm like, my response was just, what if we just do nothing? What if nobody mm-hmm. makes a fuss and nothing happens? What if we just do that? Because this is obviously a I don't want to say new goo because I'm going to sound like Twitter stans, but this is an unknown group. Nobody knows who they are. They're brand new. It is their debut. I don't feel like they are horning in on ATEEZ's territory at all. I think that pointing out the similarities and being like, huh, that's weird, is doing everything.
Yeah.
But that's just me. My only concern is when we get into because to me, this is very different from like the Vada situation, because the Vada situation was he had taken that dance move, created a challenge with it. Mm-hmm. And then people were like, hey, why is ATEEZ doing Vada's move?
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, hold up, son. We've gone the wrong way. This is not it. Where this is not working for me anymore. And because ATEEZ themselves in their own way called it out.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very much like, okay, this is obviously a problem, because if ATEEZ is bothered by it, I'm bothered by it too.
Right.
But that's not this. This to me is nothing.
I mean, they're not a big group. They're not from a big company. They're not anything really. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that it's like, well, that's not a great look.
Some people said that they also copied like one of BB's videos and an Ive video as well, I think. I guess in some pre-debut stuff, because I thought this was their debut, but I don't know.
When I looked into them very quickly, mm-hmm. it did not look like it was a thing that was like doing the whole company. They weren't original. Like they weren't doing mm-hmm. original things. Most of the stuff that they did was covers of K-pop songs. Mm-hmm. It looked like they were bringing K-pop to Cambodia vibe.
Bring them to Cambodia.
So I don't know. It didn't seem like they have a lot of like original creative talent, and that's not great. That's not a great sign for the group, but mm-hmm. yeah, they're not going to horn in on ATEEZ's territory.
Mm-hmm. I would also like to point out that apparently the chorus of this song, they keep saying from the A to the Z over and over again.
Which is so funny. It's so funny.
That's now we're just being silly.
Right?
You know?
It is a silly love game.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't want ATEEZ to be stolen from. Stolen mm-hmm. from feels like the wrong word, but you know what I mean. I don't want people to take their hard work and pass it off as their own. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is so like, it's so over the top, and it's so, there's just so many tiny elements that are just so ridiculous that it's like, mm-hmm. it's hard to do anything other than laugh.
Yeah.
If they did, this song was like a breakout song and suddenly mm-hmm. they were making tons of money and getting like lots of positive reviews for this music video, then I think we could come out and be like, okay, hold on.
Okay, well, if you liked that, maybe you would enjoy the original.
I watched a portion. I didn't watch the full video, but I had seen a clip of it where they're just singing the like A to Z part. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was really funny. So mm-hmm. I hope ATEEZ also has a good humor about it, in that I hope they're not bothered and upset. And they're just like, whatever.
I feel like they don't even know. You know, although it did get picked up by Panchoa, which was upsetting to me. One, that I thought I was absolutely certain I had them blocked, but then here they are on my timeline.
So you don't.
I don't, I guess.
Well, that's because you can't block things on Twitter, which is part of the reason why I'm not there anymore. Mm. So Elon can suck it.
Sad for me, I've been blocking so many people.
I was going to say that I was listening to our last episode when I was editing it, mm-hmm. and the amount of times that I said fuck was really high. I even cut the first one out because I like said it, and then afterwards I was like, oh man, that's coming in a little hot for our first episode for season two. I'll probably cut that out.
Well, we went through like all of Aitani's sins, so I guess uh-huh. maybe we had a lot of feelings.
Well, and that was like in the middle, because this, you know, I was listening to it and editing it at the same time, and I was like, I'll cut that out because that's coming in a little hot for our first episode. And then I said it like three more times, and I just kept all the other ones in, and I was like, well, I guess I was just like in a mood that day. For all of the people that I offended with the amount of times I said, I mean, I think I like do cuss sometimes, but the amount of times I said the F word in the last episode was pretty surprising to me.
I don't remember feeling any kind of way about it.
That's
I mean,
good.
I typically don't, but I don't remember feeling like, wow, she's a little heated today. I didn't get that vibe from you.
Well,
so
the first one that I
cut
was like
fine.
the worst one. I was like, oh. F them. And then, yeah.
What were
so
you
maybe,
mad about? What was
I don't
it?
I don't remember. I know I was also really upset about Wooyoung's tattoo, so it might have been that one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That one got me really upset. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful tattoo.
Beautiful
I don't want to hear it. You just don't even come at me with that garbage. I'm not interested. He's beautiful.
Wooyoung
and perfect.
Is so great.
That's it.
He's so great. And if you don't know that he's so great, then you're just not watching ATs. Like, I don't know how to help you as a person. Like, he's so kind. He's so thoughtful. He looks at the world in such an interesting way.
Did we talk about this last time where, because I feel like this conversation just continues and continues and continues, because now the San stands, the San Solos more like, are talking about how they don't hear enough San in the songs.
Okay.
And we've heard this before with Yosong. We've heard this before with Wooyoung, where people are like, well, I didn't know he could sing like that. I didn't know Yosong could dance like that. I didn't know San, because famously in one of the recent logbooks, San is singing something from The Greatest Showman, which is fun because I told Rachel just a couple days ago that I think I'm just about to get really into The Greatest Showman for no reason whatsoever.
And it's because you and San were connected.
We were connected, even though I hadn't even seen that yet. Uh-huh. But we were just
I saw it the next day after you texted me that, and I was like, I wonder if she'd watched this.
I hadn't seen that, but now I'm like, well, it's kismet. It's just, it's all working out. So anyway, people were saying, oh, I didn't know. How come, or San, they need to get new producers and songwriters that really feature his voice. He's in a group with 8 people.
Right.
He's in a group with 8 people. I'm going to start coughing because I'm so passionate about this, because you have got to stop expecting that members are going to have all of the solo time when they are in a group with 8 people. You are standing a group, and if you are a solo stand, we do not want you. You are unwelcome.
I said it earlier. If you cannot love and respect all 8 members, then you don't get to be here. Just go.
You're not in A&E. Get out of A&E spaces and out of A&E conversations. This is not about you. Your expectations are incorrect. San is not going to have all of these solos in group songs. That just is the way that it is. You're going to have to wait until he launches his solo career. So go and stand in the corner until that happens.
When he releases it, I will purchase it. Like, I can't
absolutely
wait.
I will purchase it. I'm so excited about all of the solo careers.
Yeah.
That I think every single one of them is capable of.
Yes.
I am probably most excited for Mingi's, and that's probably just because he has given us the most to judge off of. Well, actually, no, he hasn't given us the most. Hong Joong has given us the most.
Yeah.
But Mingi, I think, represents something closer to what, like, my music taste is, you know, separate from ATs, you know? Just the emo and the rock, and it's just, it's so good.
Well, the thing that I was thinking about with between Mingi and Hong Joong and, like, what they've given us, Hong Joong has given us a wide variety too, but I feel like Hong Joong, the stuff that Hong Joong has given us is already so closely tied to the AT's sound. You can, you know, when Psychers was prepping and Hong Joong came to, like, listen to Minjae's songs, and he was like, you can hear the Edenary blood in your veins.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's kind of how I feel with Hong Joong's music. So it's not that I'm not looking forward to it. It's that I feel like I kind of know what I'm going to get.
Except he came out with Sagittarius. And I cannot stress enough that Sagittarius really rocked my world. So
he
I'm
did
like,
Dreamy Day, which
he
is...
He did Dreamy Day, too.
Which is so beautiful. But, like, that
Selfish
also to
Waltz.
Me,
it's crazy.
Dreamy Day has that Edenary sound to me. Selfish Waltz. Oh my God, I can't say it. I can't talk. Selfish Waltz does as well. So it's not that I think it's not that I'm not excited for Hong Joong's career. It's that I feel like I've heard so much of Hong Joong's solo career. Whereas, like, with Mingi, I've just had, like, very small snippets, and it's so different from what he does in ATs that it feels like it's going to be really exciting. Obviously, I'm going to buy Hong Joong's album too, and I'm looking forward to it. So.
Obviously.
That's
Clearly. How do we close a Hala chat? Have we figured out what our closer is for Hala chat?
We are recording on Sundays, so we could talk about our patron saints.
We should probably, let's just quickly explain the patron saint. I don't know if we ever have on this podcast.
That's weird of us.
I know, it is weird. So we do this thing. It comes from what we used to do Bible studies, but they weren't on the Bible. They were on the AT's diaries.
Our personal Bible.
Our personal Bible.
Like I said, when you insult ATs, you're insulting my religion. So just keep that in mind.
So when we used to do these Bible studies, we would always end by picking a boy who would be our patron saint for the week. And the whole thing about the patron saint is that this is somebody whose traits we want to embody, somebody that we feel like would really support us throughout the week. It's nothing weird, but, you know, it is what it is. So my patron saint last week was Mingi. I picked him just because that's the direction that the spirit moved. And so I picked Mingy. So I, when I choose my patron saint, I pull out my merch. So I had Byungming on my backpack all week. I have a Byungming, the acrylic keychain. I put that on my keys. I take both of the lip glosses from Nacific, as well as the hand cream from Nacific. I just go all out on the theming with my patron saint boy of the week. And I also keep track of it in my bullet journal.
That's what I was going to say. You have a very nice like bullet journal spread that's got all of them.
So anyway, Mingy was last week. This week is I'm feeling Woo Young because he's precious and perfect.
My boy last week was Yosong. My boy is frequently Yosong.
She picks Yosong all the time.
I track mine in my journal as well, but I do like my weekly spread and my daily spread are themed and designed around the boys. So during the week, like if I have a Yosong week, all of my daily spreads are Yosong week themed. And then I carry him around. I also carry his little Anities with me. I was thinking that I should get like a patron saint PC holder and like switch them out and like put the PC holder in my bag. I do have a PC holder of the year that I haven't made yet, but that will have to be different. How many PC holders can one person carry on them at a time, do you think?
How big is your bag?
Well, I carry the Ida bag, so the blue.
I mean, do they have to be on the outside? Can they be on the inside?
I already have so many things on the inside. We'll see.
What if it's not something that you display, but something that is you carry preciously in your pocket?
This is unrelated, but I went to pick up barbecue the other night and there was a man at the barbecue counter to give me my barbecue. And he was like, I love your Ida bag. It was really weird. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. It was just really like unexpected. So so that was fun. Anyways.
Well, you say man, but I'm thinking man and barbecue place. And so I am picturing a very old, round, white man. Is that
he was what younger, it was? But he was a white man. He there was nothing like I saw him and he had like dyed hair and gauges and I was like, yeah, you're gonna be one of my people. Like it wasn't like that. It was like he looked like your standard white man that you might see out hunting. But he was like younger. So I would say he was probably like 25, 30.
I wonder if he has like a girlfriend who's really into the culture.
Or a sister.
And so a sister, somebody who, or a friend even, you know. But possibilities are endless.
But yes, like it's not nice to judge people and stereotype them. But as I was walking up to him, the last thing I anticipated he would say to me is, I really like your Ida bag. Like, if you had given me a list of 10 things, that for sure would have been at the bottom.
You know what? I say this, but I'm like, if you saw me in real life, you would not think that I was a K-pop stan or at all part of the culture. You'd just be like, well, there's a white woman. There she is. And that's it.
You might think I was just because I carry a giant Ida bag.
I mean, I do generally have some piece of AT's merch on me. And I have been recognized as an Atenee a couple times out in the wild. Recently by a student at my school. That was deeply exciting.
That is fun.
She will be my student next year if she's still at the school. So I'm sure we'll bond over ATs.
Anyway, I picked Yosong because I love him. And I often pick Yosong if I have like a lot of work to do that I don't really want to do because I feel like Yosong is a really hard worker and I feel like he can just like put his nose down and grind in a way that I really admire. So I picked him. I am traveling this week and often I pick Mingy for my travels. I don't know why, but I just feel like Mingy has to like he has to soothe my soul when I'm traveling. I just need him for my travels. I don't know why.
I was thinking about Mingy and traveling just recently with some of the content I was watching and I was thinking about this is why we picked Mingy for traveling, but now I don't remember why that was. But it was something about him loving to go out places and do things,
and it's him and Woo Young that like try to learn about the culture of the place they go before they go there, right? So you've got that, and he's got such a we did talk about this in our last episode where we talked about Mingy's mental fortitude. He's very strong mentally and like able to keep himself together in a way that I am not. And so I really admire that. I really admire his strength. And so I will be traveling this week. So I think I will choose Mingy this week for that reason. So I will be getting my Byungming out and carrying him around. I'll be hitting the Margaritaville again, so I'll be taking Mingy to Margaritaville. I only take Mingy to Margaritaville.
You have to take Mingy to Margaritaville. That's canon at this point.
Thank you for joining us for today's chat. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast.
You can find us on Blue Sky at Holochat Podcast or read more from our blog at ontini.com.
If you love books, you can also follow along with our spinoff podcast, Readers of the Lost Art.
We'll see you next time. Be the light.